Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and are you still getting goosebumps from Lupita Nyong'o's win, her speech at the Oscars? Are you still trying to figure out why Jared Leto mentioned Ukraine but not transgender rights, considering the character he played in Dallas Buyers Club? Did Cate Blanchett actually suggest that Woody Allen elevates women? The Oscars were what they were, and Los Angeles still might be home to the vast majority of movie agents, producers, and actors. But New York is adding film and TV production jobs by the thousands, while the Golden State is losing out. Good morning, Jimmy Fallon. My next guest is the author of a new report that details the reasons for the job drain from California and what other states, like ours, may be doing right to attract these gigs. Kevin Cloudon is the director of the California Report at the Milken Institute and a management economist, and the report is called A Hollywood Exit, What California Must Do to Remain Competitive in Entertainment and Keep Jobs. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to WNYC.
Greetings.
So how bad is it looking for California? And on the same note, how well is New York doing on film and TV production jobs?
Well, California is looking very mediocre. It's not at the stage yet where it's a massive stampede. In many ways, California's managed to hold off things turning into a complete rush out the door on all fronts. But big-budget movies already left California. Network television shows have been moving out. And as The Tonight Show has demonstrated, there are a number of shows who don't feel like they have to be in California anymore, especially when they have New York as an alternative.
Go ahead. Did you want to finish the thought?
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that states can add these jobs because movies and TV shows are given tax breaks and production credits to film in states like New York and Louisiana and New Mexico, some of the states that are gaining. But those also come at a cost to the states. And I wonder if you have come to a conclusion as to whether it's financially worth it for states to offer these incentives. Does the money generated by the productions and the taxes they pay cover the cost of the subsidies?
Well, the answer is sometimes, and it really depends on the states. Return on investment is very hard to measure effectively, but the states who do the best job of recapturing the investment are the ones that have the infrastructure, meaning they're the ones that have the sound stages, they're the ones who have the support crews, and they capture all of the employment benefit from it rather than just getting an investment benefit when a movie comes in and leaves again. For a state to really do well and recapture its investment, it has to build up its sound stages. It has to have the not only the makeup artists, but the caterers and the truckers and all sorts of different people we don't associate with being specialists or needing to be adapted to the entertainment industry. New York has done a really good job of spreading that out in terms of having benefits to a wider sector of the populace. Part of it is that New York already had Broadway. Part of it is that New York already had a lot of network television. But the fact is that since 2004, just in production, New York's added over 10,000 jobs. That's far, far more than any other state. And it shows that New York is getting a larger benefit in many ways than pretty much any other state in terms of the incentives.
At the same time,
a
couple of other states.
A couple other states are doing pretty well, like Louisiana, like New Mexico, like Georgia, but nobody's at New York's level.
And if I've got my figures right, New York has offered tax subsidies expanded recently to about $420 million per year through 2019, which is more than $2 billion altogether through the period. Is it your sense that these production companies really follow the tax incentives around? Because sometimes I get skeptical of this, you know, that companies are going to locate in a city or a town or a state for reasons other than that they're just being bribed with tax breaks. There are other things that are much more important. So is it your sense that the tax breaks are central to New York landing these jobs?
They definitely help. The fact is that before the tax breaks really kicked in, New York's employment base was undergoing a slight decline. It's really picked up since then. So there, it clearly does make a difference around the edges. Don't get me wrong. New York has a huge advantage over a lot of other places because it has the concentration of talent, but it's an expensive place to do business. And right now, with the DVD market having shrunk in on itself, digital not yet paying for itself, most of the entertainment companies are really looking at their margins in trying to manage their risk, and incentives do help with that.
Listeners, if you want to chime in, we have a few minutes. How's the TV production and movie production biz doing in New York for you these days? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And if you're bi-coastal, do you see New York's gain as California's loss? With Kevin Cloudon, director of the California Report at the Milken Institute and a managing economist, the report that he released that we're basing this conversation around is a Hollywood exit, what Californians must do to remain competitive in entertainment and keep jobs, even though we don't really want them to do it because we want all the jobs to come here. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, if you work in the biz. Are these good jobs for the most part? We have a commenter on our webpage saying these are mostly temporary jobs, seeming to dismiss the importance of these to the economy or the success of the middle class in New York. What do you think?
Well, I think that temporary is misleading. Most of the assignments, most of the projects don't last the entire year. The difference is that once you have enough work, people get employed the entire year. If people had hated the temporary idea of employment, they would have dropped out of the business in California decades ago. We worked out in terms of the wages per head just in production that you're talking about jobs paying $87,000 a year. That's not very temporary. Those are very significant, well-paying jobs. So, sure, you might have gaps of a few weeks here and there, and there are a number of people who, yes, only work in the sector part-time, certain number of actors, certain number of specialists, but New York's been doing well enough that the vast, vast majority of these people in the industry, that is their living, and they make a very nice one.
So are they entertainment biz migrant workers in a certain sense? Because I think your study shows that when some of these workers go to other states for short-term projects, they might keep their permanent homes in either New York or California, but they're going elsewhere as need be and accepting lower salaries.
Well, they're certainly not getting paid quite as much, but if it's a union project, there is a certain base wage level and a certain structure that has to be adhered to. Fact is that the New York IATSE rules tend to apply not just in New York City. They tend to apply in the surrounding area in Connecticut, now to Philadelphia and elsewhere. So if workers are traveling not that far away, they're still earning a very nice living, and they still can come home on the weekends whenever possible.
Elise in Fairfield County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elise.
Hi. So I actually work in television, and I've actually stopped working because I'm based in Connecticut. I was living in New York because of the boom, the television boom, and I don't know if the panelist recalls that Connecticut for a while was doing really well in television. Now it's not. And I assume that it has to do with the success of New York, but I just was curious of what he thought the status of the Connecticut jobs was.
Is it something you've taken a look at?
We haven't looked as much at Connecticut, although certainly Connecticut has come in under looking at New York. And one of the issues that Connecticut has is that it really does lean on New York for its crews. It leans on New York for a lot of its business. And as New York saw its incentives increase dramatically, the amount of work that stayed in New York City and New York State has jumped up a great deal. And, yeah, I think Connecticut has been hurt by that because Connecticut doesn't have enough of its infrastructure on its own. It has a few different projects that it's been able to keep, but I agree that Connecticut has been hurt because it's not quite as competitive as New York is in terms of the overall structure and the incentives. And the fact is that workers, if given a choice, and even producers and writers and others, would prefer not to travel. They prefer to stay a little bit closer to home.
Elise, I'll admit my ignorance. I didn't realize there was an independent TV or film production industry in Connecticut, separate from New York. What kinds of things have been produced there?
I actually was on a TBS sitcom, Are We There Yet, for almost 2 years, which was very much unheard of, but we had a 90-episode deal in Stamford, Connecticut. And there are a lot of the TV shows that you see during the day, like Maury and Jerry Springer are in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a very different production versus, obviously, a sitcom or a drama. And Big C was here for a while. I worked on that. But, you know, I would have to say in the past 2 years, it's really, really slowed down.
Interesting. Elise, thank you for your call. Good luck out there. Bruce in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bruce.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, well, I'm a film technician in New York that's been working in the industry for 30 years. And in the last 5 or 6 years since the tax incentive, I could work, or my crews can even work, almost every day of the week if they wish. It's that busy.
That's great. How do you account for it?
It's the tax incentive, I would say. They come in for it. The crews are here. The equipment houses are here. The stages are here. I mean, there's 43 TV shows shooting every day in New York now, with about 150 guys on each one. And my friends in California are basically having to work in, you know, Atlanta and, you know, New Orleans, but they have to work as locals.
Bruce,
they don't get any, you know, per diem or anything like that. And that's their advantage of working out of town.
Bruce, thanks for the good news. But then is it only a race to the bottom, Kevin, in terms of tax incentives? Is that the only way? What about when they all abolish, you know, any requirement for these companies to pay taxes all over the country? Then what's going to happen?
Well, what happens is that it's not sustainable. If you race too far to the bottom, you have what happens in Michigan. You have what happens when even New Mexico, which has done a very nice job, decides to cut back the total amount of money it allocates. It's not sustainable to go too far, because once it moves to the point where it's not economically sustainable, you're not getting enough benefit from it if you give too much away, then eventually politics change. People look at it and say this is not paying for itself, and there's a backlash, and the incentives get cut back or withdrawn. For a state such as New York, for a state such as California, which has the infrastructure, what winds up happening is that you need to sustain the industry and not try and be hyper-aggressive to build it up to the same degree. Georgia, for example, is more aggressive, not because it has a higher overall incentive than New York, but because it includes some things that New York doesn't, like the top level. It will give a rebate on the top level stars, the directors, all the above the line talent. And Georgia does that because it is being more aggressive, and there is a question as to how sustainable that part is. New York doesn't need to raise its incentives any further. If it's already at capacity, there's no reason to do that. And the fact is that the industry is large enough. There is work around, there are places around for people to go if they want the lowest possible cost. But if they do that, they're not going to get the best possible quality.
One more call. Kelly in Brooklyn. And Kelly, we have about 15 seconds for you. Hi.
Hi. I live in Brooklyn. I live in Fort Greene. And there's a Brooklyn Navy Yard there where they do a lot of filming, and there's also a lot of filming on the streets. I don't see many of the community youth involved, the Black and Hispanic community youth involved in any of these production programs. And I was wondering, how could we get the young people involved in a training that leads to a job, or even a summer apprenticeship where they can learn these skills, working the cameras or whatever, and get them involved in this type of
It's such an important
production.
Question, and I'm sure there's sort of an old boys and girls network in this industry, like a lot of industries, that tends to work against diversity. Have you looked at that question at all, Kevin?
We haven't looked at it directly, but it's something that's definitely come up as part of our examination. The fact is, you're right, it's an old apprenticeship system. Hollywood in particular has always been a place where it helps to know a guy who knows a gal who knows a guy, or something like, you know, something in the old way of saying it. But the fact is that having those connections makes a difference. And one thing that can be done at a city level, can be done at a local level, is creating mechanisms to encourage people to hire local workers. And That tends to happen at the sea level. It's very hard for a state to do something like that because you can't make a blanket rule over the
place. So another agenda for the de Blasio administration. Kelly, thank you for raising it. And Kevin Cloudon, thank you for talking about your report, A Hollywood Exit on Jobs Leaving Hollywood for New York and Elsewhere. Thank you very much. Very, very interesting.
Thank you.